From in the beginning to the musical apocalypse, this is The Bible Says What. I'm your host, Mike Wiseman. The Bible Says What, the book is out. Mr. John Livingston got himself a signed copy complete with stickers and bookmarks. You too can be as cool as John. Hop on over to thebiblesayswhat.com and pick yourself up a copy. Supplies are limited. That being said, Christians often claim that the problem of evil stems from our free will and the choices Yahweh allows us to make. The issue is, this concept is not only ridiculous, but not biblically accurate. The Bible never states that we all get free will, not once. There are, however, several verses and stories that tell us the opposite. One particular instance we are going to look at today is the biblical claim that every knee shall bow. This idea comes from three places: Romans 14:11, Philippians 10-11, and Isaiah 45:23. Now, Philippians adds the word should to the saying, making it every knee should bow, taking the enforcement, the forcefulness of it away. Romans 14:11 is simply quoting from the Old Testament, from Isaiah. Isaiah 45:23 follows several verses telling us how great Yahweh thinks he is. He explains that he will save his favorite people and crush their idol-worshipping neighbors. He then goes on to say in verse 23 that before him every knee will bow and every tongue will swear allegiance to him. Yahweh will have to be forcing people to bow to him. I, for one, would never bow down to such a monster. He will have to use his magical powers to force me into submission. And I can guarantee you that there are others out there like me. This is not an example of free will. The next time a Christian quotes this verse to you, tell them that Yahweh would have to force you to bow down to him, negating the whole idea of free will, therefore putting a giant hole in their worldview. The Bible is full of examples like this. It is full of countless issues and contradictions. One has to throw out or set aside the majority of it just to stay within the free will concept. As Kirk Cameron once said so poignantly, you have to circumnavigate or go around the person's intellect in order to convince them to be a believer. If common sense is screaming at us that something doesn't quite add up, perhaps we should be listening to that instead of voices in our heads or invisible demigods. Let's start the show.
Is there anything in the Bible that you yourself have an issue with?
The divine blast.
I actually enjoyed arguing with you and stuff.
God doesn't kill children.
What do you think the Passover was? Are you reading a different Bible?
No.
You worship him because of the things he's done. Why can I not judge him because of the things he's done?
Obey me or I'll kill your kids. It doesn't seem really holy to me.
Well, that's brutal, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh man, what a tough life.
Today's special guest is author, actress, director, and producer Onyx Keisha. Welcome to the show, Onyx.
Oh, I'm so happy to be here.
Thanks for coming on. I appreciate your time. So tell us a little bit about the work you do and why you do it.
Oh, for sure. Well, I truly believe that my art is my activism. And I think that it's very important that we attempt to blur the lines that divide us. I feel like when you can connect to the heart and the hurt of someone, then those differences are not as pronounced. You know, humanity connecting to one another is just really a beautiful thing. And for me, I like to do that through art, through theater, through film.
Absolutely. Yeah, I totally agree. I think art can be activism, 100%. I guess this is kind of an artful show, I guess. Podcast is an art form. So that's my own little form, I guess. Humanity connecting, 100% agree. That just speaks to my humanism, you know. Beneficial if we all stick together. Kumbaya, all that. Love it. I love it. So you've done, most of your stuff is based off of the Christian perspective, correct?
Well, a great deal of it. I'll never forget, I had to do this panel one time, and I was asked this question, like, how did you release a movie about church and then erotica movie? And, you know, I just really explained my stance that you know, if you are a believer, then you must know that God is there even when you're making love. So when we try to separate it, when we try to erase our human experience, are we truly on a spiritual journey? But a lot of my work is definitely mission-based. I do have a great deal of faith-based work as well.
So what are your beliefs as far as what the Bible? What is the Bible to you?
So I will tell you, so I'm a Jesus freak, that's what I say, but I'm a very new budding Jesus freak. I am immature in my spiritual journey. And for a long time, for many years, the majority of my life, I really had no, I don't want to say respect for the Bible, but I just didn't revere it kind of the way that I do now. And so now the Bible for me is truly a book of parables that help to guide us. I definitely think everything needs to be taken in context. I have some Christian friends who are like, the Bible, the Bible, the Bible. And I'm very much like relationship, relationship, relationship.
Interesting. So relationship with Jesus.
With God and Jesus, yes.
Gotcha. So many questions there. I don't even know where to start. The relationship you have with Jesus, how would you describe that?
So I would describe it as a new budding relationship. I believe everyone has their own faith walk and whatever language helps them to connect, whether that's to God, oneness, the universe, whatever it is, you know, that's your personal journey. For me, being a Christian, Jesus really resonates with me. And I don't know that I can quite put it into words. I just know that there's a sense of peace and comfort that comes over me when I walk in the Christian faith. And like I said, this is very new. For a very long time, I was anti-Christian. So I wish I had different words for you. You know, as I grow and I mature in the word, I know possibly I can have a language for it, but I don't have that.
Yeah, no, understandable. So with this new relationship,
yes,
how do you communicate with this person that you're in a relationship with?
Okay, so I definitely communicate through prayer. Prayer for me, though, is not like on my knees crying out yelling hallelujah. It really is more about talking to self, talking talking inwardly, trusting some of the things like intuition and these things that are happening inside of us. For me, having a representation of that outside of me as God or Jesus is what helps me to connect to self. So I connect by talking, singing, dancing, anything like that.
Interesting. Yeah, no, I definitely give myself some pep talks throughout the day. You know, you can do this. We've got this. One more hour, you know, you're almost there. Things like that throughout the day, 100%. But you do it to Jesus, and that's where I think we differ is I don't have an understanding of how you can, I'm just going to throw this out there. Please don't take any offense to it, but how you can have a relationship with an invisible person who doesn't talk back to you. And that to me is strange. I mean, I'm an invisible person in my head, I guess, that I'm talking to, but like, it's different when it comes to Jesus, you know? And I'm just curious how that works for you.
Yeah. So for me, it doesn't, so I feel like Jesus talks to me. God, Jesus, and God, you know, they don't speak to me in a a verbal sense, but there's always some kind of sign or symbol or feeling or something that happens that lets me know that I am in the right direction or I am communicating. So for me, it's not like I don't hear somebody talking in my ear.
Yeah.
You know?
That's good.
yeah, I don't hear that, but I definitely feel and know that there is a connection.
So
that's different than my connection with self, because my spiritual walk has allowed me to have a deeper connection with self, which I think was something I was not prepared for.
Do you find you're more honest with yourself?
Absolutely. More honest, more in integrity. But that doesn't come from this new fear, right? When I first moved, so I'm from the East Coast, and I first moved down to Georgia in the Bible Belt, I really felt like so many people had like shackles around religion and church and spirituality. And I didn't grow up in the church. Like, my dad, straight up science guy. My parents were like, we are not going to make you go to any type of religious institution. We want you to find your own way, you know? So we were raised with a lot of what I say principles and values that some would say are aligned with believing in God, but it wasn't in that context. So then when I met people who were raised in the church, and I would look at them like, your foundation doesn't seem to be really solid. You have all of this biblical knowledge, yet you are still unhappy. You are, God is not liberating to you. And you don't express that. So that's something that I realized. So in my own journey, I don't have this like fear, like, oh, if I don't do right, God is going to be mad. No, what it helps me to really do is a lot of self-checks. It helps me to stay in integrity, because I want to be a good person. I don't want to be a perfect person, but I want to be a good person. And I want people to be a reflection of me and the God in me. And so it has definitely made me do a lot more internal thinking and trying to understand why I make certain decisions and if it's the right decision and stuff like that.
Interesting. Yeah, so much there. Thank you. So the honest with yourself, and I understand that, you know, I'm getting up there in my age. So you tend to learn things as you go, you grow. For one thing is definitely be honest with yourself. If you're not honest with yourself, you can't really grow as a person. You can't really fix things or issues or, you know how that goes. That's how we grow as people, as individuals. And I 100% like that. But is there anybody else that you have a relationship in this manner with Jesus? Like Jesus, like you were going to talk to him and they don't talk back, but they just give you signs and hints here and there. Is there anybody else or anything?
So I don't know if this is going to answer your question, but you know, for the first couple of years of my children's life, like, we had a relationship and they could not communicate with me the same way I communicated with them, but they let me know, you know, like, they were very real and the conversation was very real. You know, they let me know if they were hungry, if they were tired, if they were lonely, if they were sad, without verbally letting me know that. So in regards to having a relationship without having a direct communication, but this idea of having a relationship with an invisible person or an invisible entity, I can't even correlate that to anything in my life. But at the same time, it also is a relationship that I can't explain. I don't even know if relationship is the right word. I don't even know if that gives it the proper context of what I am feeling or saying.
Feeling. Yeah. It's to me, it sounds more like a feeling. Kids are incapable of doing, you know, showing or communicating in the proper way because they're children. They lack that ability. But Yahweh has the ability to do anything he wants. We have the Old Testament, which is full of Yahweh showing up to his people, talking to his people, and all of that, you know. We don't have that kind of thing today. You know, we don't have Jesus coming down. We don't have Yahweh speaking to prophets in the manner he did then. So that to me is the difference, I see there, but, I kind of want to go back to the focusing on a good person, and you believe Yahweh and Jesus are good role models.
I do, but I don't feel like they are perfect role models. I don't feel like I'm not saying that Jesus is without fault or problematic when he was walking the earth. So I don't really know if I would put it like that, good role models, but I think that being a good person for me is not directly connected to your spiritual walk. I know my ex-husband, I was telling my publicist the other day, my ex-husband is a non-believer and has been a non-believer all of his life. And, he's a very amazing person. You know, I would dare to say there are some Christians who I, you know, would not be around. So, So this idea that Jesus, Yahweh, God is without fault is not exactly my thought process.
So at that point, because the Bible says that Yahweh is perfect, the Bible says that Jesus was flawless while he was walking the earth and whatnot. So at that point, we're just kind of setting those ideas aside. Like, how do you, I know you view the Bible as a set of parables. But in it, there's a lot of other things that are not so great.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh. I mean, yes. We both agree on that. Okay, good.
I mean, it can be akin to a scary movie. It can have some. There's moral dilemmas in there.
Absolutely.
But I feel like that is the beauty of it, and just like I feel like that's the beauty of our human experience. I do not desire to have a human experience where I'm not feeling hurt and pain. I feel like those experiences are just as important as love and joy.
I think there's a limit though, as far as the human experiencing hurt and pain. I mean, you can go to the church itself, inside the church, Yahweh's own house, things happen, the abuse of children, the abuse of people in general. So I think there's a limit to what we would want to experience in life as far as the hurt and pain. I mean, yes, there's a little bit that'll help us grow, such as, you know, I've been hurt by this one person. Now I understand not to go with those kinds of people or that type of person. You know, that kind of hurt and pain, I understand. But there's certain things like kids with cancer, the abuse of children in the church that I believe is too far for a learning experience.
I will say this. I am a breast cancer survivor.
Congratulations.
Thank you. 2 years passed. So it's very recent. I did had surgery. I did 20 weeks of chemo. I did 9 weeks of radiation. It came at what I thought at the time was the height of my career. I was sitting at tables with people I only saw on TV, and financially it was great. Personally it was great. Everything was great. And then boom. Life happened. And on top of that, my father passed away from lung cancer the day before I had my surgery.
Oh.
And so it was not a joyful experience. It was not something that I wanted to happen, but it absolutely changed me for the better. And going through it, I wasn't thinking to myself, so let me say this. Some people assume that my faith walk is because I'm like, oh, God saved me from cancer. But that's not the case. During my journey, I did not know I was going to make it. And I was just like, your will. If this is it, this is it. I have some cancer survivors who I speak to, and they're like, I knew I was going to beat it. That wasn't my
case.
So my spirituality wasn't born out of a traumatic experience. Sometimes I feel like when your spirituality is born out of something that is tragic, it is not necessarily as genuine as it could be, because it's used as, you know, well, now I believe in God because he saved my house from being foreclosed.
Yeah.
You know, that's a very different faith center than understanding if your home is foreclosed, that is not the end or the worst thing that could happen.
Yeah, that's for sure. But to me, the beauty of life, I wouldn't explain it as the hurt. I mean, I guess you, like I said, you got to have a little bit in there so you can learn, I guess, but very minimal. But the beauty in life, I guess, is the joy, the love, the compassion, the sharing it with other people, the animals. I mean, there's so much other things to focus on, I feel. And when you go through the Bible, it is a lot of really bad things in there. A lot of Yahweh punishing children. He's a jealous God. You've got Jesus has to die on the cross. Why? Because Yahweh's so mad he can't, you know, forgive people like a normal person. He needs bloodshed. So I struggle to find the really good parts in the Bible. Yes, Jesus said, love your neighbor. That's one sentence, you know, amongst many horrible things against people, against, you know, animals in general, the flood. I mean, holy cow, every puppy and kitten. Why? That doesn't make any sense. But you know what I mean? I mean, there's slavery, that the women and the way he treats women, the rules he has for women. I mean, it's just like, wow. So I struggle to find the good in it. There are so many other things out there. Like, a role model to look up to that I would see would be Mr. Rogers. That dude put out all these episodes of positive television for people to watch. There's nothing in there about hating somebody, jealousy, killing anybody. You know, I think that's so much better than the Bible itself. Let's throw out the Bible and let's keep Mr. Rogers. I think he's a better role model than Yahweh or Jesus will ever be. Plus, he's a real person. You know, you could have, you know, not anymore, but I mean, you could have actually went and met him and talked to him, had a conversation with him. I think that's more beautiful than the hurt and the pain and suffering.
Well, I definitely think Mr. Rogers is a beautiful example of God's life.
Yeah. Well, he threw that in there. I saw that. Oh man. So when your cancer thing, amazing. I can't even imagine the struggle that you went through with that in the mental state. Holy cow. I'd lose it. But with the thoughts, and you were being prayed for, correct? When you were doing all this, they were throwing thoughts and prayers at you.
You know, they were, but I was very, very open and public about my journey. My social media community, you know, they really were the ones that were like, we're praying for you, we're rooting for you, all of that stuff. But I didn't even when I was going through chemo, I was still working, I was still traveling, I was still pushing through. So for me, the responses that I got, it wasn't like, I feel like people say they're going to pray for you when they feel like it's just something so wrong, you know, or bad, you know. But because my walk, despite it being what it had to be, was positive, you know, I stayed upbeat, I stayed joyful, I continued to post, I talked about bad days, but I did it from a positive vantage point. The prayers that I quote unquote God came a little differently. Mm. Now, I do believe if it was, or for example, when my father passed away, and people knew that it was right before I was going to start chemo, then it would be like, oh, I pray for you. Oh my, I got a lot of that, you know? And I just felt like that was more robotic than genuine.
Exactly. Like they had to respond with something, and that was the best they could come up with.
And I have this rule, and I've always had it, but I am very, I'm very touchy when people are like, let me pray over you. Let me lay hands on you. Like, that's not my thing.
Yeah.
That's just not my thing. Not because I don't believe in it, but that's not my faith walk. That's not what I need. I don't feel like I need, or I know who, like, what you're praying over me, what your intentions are. I just, you know, I just don't know. And it's not necessarily from a superstitious vantage point. It's more so it was rooted from when I was not a Christian. And I was just like, you know, I had this whole thing. I was like, you guys are hypocrites. What, you're not going to pray for me. Like, I was just really anti. And so that little piece has kind of transferred over because I think people's interpretation of Christ, people's interpretation of the Bible, people's interpretation of spirituality is a very personal one.
Very subjective, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, personal Jesus and all that. so you believe that the doctors and science are working more than the prayers, or...
No, I wouldn't say that.
No.
But what I will say is it was an interesting journey because I had some spiritual people. They didn't necessarily practice Christianity, but they were just like, don't trust the doctors or the medicine. It's evil, you know. And then I had some people, you know, who were just like, just pray it away. And then I had some people who were like, hey, like, this medicine is here for you. These doctors are here for you. Why is it separate? Why is science separate from spirituality?
So do you believe prayer works? Does it help out the science and the doctors, or how does that work for you?
I do believe that prayer works. Absolutely. I've seen it work in my life. I just do not believe that it works in the way that some people who have been a part of me turning away from spirituality claim it to work. Like, I don't believe that you can pray something away. When I pray, a lot of my prayers are pure gratitude. And asking for clarity, discernment, as opposed to trying to remove something that is going bad in my life. And that's just been that's my experience, that's my prayer life. But I do believe that prayer works, absolutely.
So why do you think it works for some and not others?
I wouldn't necessarily say that it works for some and not others. I would more so say that it's not a literal thing. Like, I can pray for something and I want it, but that's not the ultimate plan for my life or the ultimate thing that I need. Or like, I can want it and it not be what I truly need or even what I think I truly want. So I don't necessarily see it as, okay, your prayers work for you and mine don't work for me. I just see it as it's a very individual journey, individual process. What God could, and this is the best way I could say this. Like, I could say God denied me, I don't know what it is, relationship working out. And now I'm divorced and blah, 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 right?
Yeah.
But I do believe that it may be painful and hurtful, and I won't understand it in the moment, but there's a reason for it.
So is there a plan that's set in motion, do you think?
I would say definitely there's a plan.
So if there's a plan and it's already set in motion and Yahweh's will be done regardless.
Yes.
What is the point of asking?
See, that's where I feel like that is building your personal inner strength and discernment. I think that's the journey. That's the human experience. I if we were born understanding that purely, then I feel like this journey of life and the experiences we have, I feel like they're here to get us to that understanding, to get us to know that we can trust in him, that there is a plan. The asking thing, I think that is a, like I said, my prayers are really more about gratitude and about discernment. And that's about me really tapping into myself, the God inside of me, so that I could be my best self. Yeah, but asking, you know, I still, even if there's a plan, I think there's power in the ask.
What kind of power?
I mean, I think it builds your faith. It builds your understanding. Like, I don't necessarily know what the purpose would be for me to know the plan. I mean, when...
Well, then you could stop asking him and leave him alone.
Several times, like with my kids, like I'm not telling them like where we're going and what we're doing, because they're gonna keep bugging me or they're gonna worry or XYZ. I like the unfolding of it, even for myself with my children. I love the unfolding of it, and I think the beauty is in that journey, that unfolding, that those lessons that come with it. For me, and that's just the best way that I can kind of relate it is how I raise my kids.
All right. Yeah. No, I mean, I can put myself the same way. If I was Yahweh raising children, what would I do? Would I do and make the same choices that Yahweh made? Is your Jesus, your Yahweh? Well, that's a whole other question itself. Is Jesus and Yahweh the same person to you?
No.
So they have separate thoughts and ideas, or how does that work?
I don't really, I would never even be able to say God has thoughts and he just is. Huh. So I don't even, I don't even see it like that. When I speak about Jesus and I speak about him specifically in my spirituality, that's when I can say and think things like he's having thoughts and conversations, and he was very human, and he, you know, made mistakes, and he is a representation and all of this stuff. But I can't, I'll be honest with you, I can't even put God in a context of, well, he has like all these thoughts and ideas. He's just so massive to me.
Interesting. So he didn't think up any of this stuff. It was just kind of, I don't even know. he had to have thought at some point. I mean,
I don't even think the word think is enough to describe how this was created. Wow. There's just so much humanness to me in those words.
Well, we are created in his image, so wouldn't that be, you know, logical to think that he thinks?
I mean, it would, but I definitely don't think we are aligned in our thinking.
Well, okay. Well, yeah, definitely. I'm not aligned in his thinking. 100% agree with you on that one. I've read that book. Holy cow. So the Old Testament Yahweh is a lot different from the New Testament Jesus. The Old Testament Yahweh claims several times that he's a jealous God. These are things I can't get behind. Do you believe that he's a jealous God?
I do not.
You do not. So you don't believe that part of the Bible, or how does that work for you?
Well, you know, I really, like I said before, the Bible to me is not where my faith center is. It's more, it's in my relationship. I don't believe that I don't fear God. I don't feel like God is a jealous God. I have the people who I am around who have that belief system. To me, they're not liberated. They're not open. They're not trusting. They don't have faith. They have fear.
Interesting. So it just keeps going back to that your own personal Jesus. Well, I mean, if he doesn't come from the Bible and these stories aren't as descriptive or accurate, I mean, where else does he come from? Where does this concept or this idea come from?
Of Jesus?
Well, the not jealous part, for one. I mean, that's clearly stated in the Bible several times.
I mean, I don't know what to tell you outside of this. I mean, I didn't get Jesus from the Bible. I didn't get God from the Bible. Like, I wasn't raised with the Bible. I didn't open up a Bible until I had a feeling, a thought first. Mm-hmm. And even then, that's what I'm doing now. I started my study because I need to know the word for myself. Huh. I need to understand scripture for myself. I don't want to just repeat what is being said to me or not have my own interpretation.
Nice.
So, you know, that's why I started this conversation. I said, if you want me to quote scriptures, I'm not there yet, but I can absolutely talk about you know, my belief system. Mm-hmm. And I wish it was as literal as somebody told me Jesus is in the Bible and this is where my faith center is, but it's not. It's so much bigger than that. Mm. It doesn't come from the pages of a text.
Right. Well, I appreciate that. And I can encourage you, I like I do everybody at the end of my show, please continue to read that Bible. Would you kindly read your Bibles? Yeah, absolutely. 100%. Start from that beginning. And then when you're going through it, write down the things you see, the issues you have, the things that don't connect, the things that you like. Absolutely. Go through the things that you like. I'd love to contact you like a month from now after you've gone through a bunch of this stuff and see where you're at, you know?
Absolutely. I think that we do ourselves a disservice if we don't take the time to go through the Bible.
Absolutely.
I don't hear, you know, you and your thoughts and your beliefs and think that, you know, you're wrong or you're a bad person or like, I just don't believe that. What I believe is a personal experience, is a personal interpretation. Mm-hmm. I believe that everyone's spiritual journey is theirs. If that shows up in the form of crystals and sage, if it shows up in the form of Jesus Christ, if it shows up in the form of whatever that is for you, I think understanding that we are connected to something that is bigger than us and something that is inside of us and that we want to connect to each other. For me, that is the biggest thing. And my language just happens to be Jesus.
That it does.
And my friends are like, oh my gosh. You know, but I'm definitely unapologetic with that, but I'm not easily offended. There are, you know, in a lot of my circles. So first of all, I tell people it's harder to come out as a Christian than it is to come out as a lesbian. Nowadays,
I don't know about that.
Being a Christian is looked at as being brainwashed, being unintelligent, all of these things. I'm surrounded by circles of people who will tell me all kinds of things, you know, and I am just rooted in my belief, but I don't feel the need to be offended by it.
That's good.
And so
that's good.
When I see Christians who are offended by it, you know, I always just question, like, why are you offended? Why? Because it doesn't, if you truly are a believer, then that person who's saying something against you has just as much value as you do. Like, we cannot, I really talk about being a new believer in the sense that I don't look at other people in other schools of thoughts and feel like I'm superior to them or my spirituality is superior to them. And I'm so excited to get into the word so I can have the language to express how I feel. But I just feel like gone are the days, or gone should be the days, where Christians are so judgmental.
Wow. And unfortunately, I don't see that ending soon, but it would be nice.
That's my goal. I just don't believe that is our intention. And it turns people away. It turned me away for 20 years of my life.
Well, I thank you. I appreciate that. I really hope you keep researching, and I really want to touch base here. A couple months, see where you're at for sure.
I would love that, actually. Man.
Yeah, that'd be good.
I want to go toe to toe. Let's talk about scripture.
Do it. Let's pick a verse or a story, man. I'd love to just dissect it with you. That sounds fun.
And I think the beautiful thing is to do it with love and respect.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You
know? And healthy debate. I am absolutely. I think it's necessary. Mm-hmm. To me, I feel like it's necessary.
Agreed.
To have conversation and to have healthy debate and to do it in love.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. You can't do it in hate, and got hate in there, and everybody pushes away. Nobody wants to listen. Everybody. Nobody learns anything that way. So.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Well, I thank you so much for your time today. Take care. We'll keep in touch for sure. And congrats on beating that cancer.
Oh, thank you so much. And thank you for having me and being open and having this conversation.
Absolutely. Anytime.
I think it's amazing.
You know where to find me.
Absolutely.
Talk to you later.
All right. Bye. Bye-bye.
That's all the podcast there is for you today. Thanks for listening. If you like what you heard and want to help keep the recording light on, simply go to patreon.com/BSW the podcast and sign up to be a supporter of the show. Your episodic tithes of a dollar or more will give you access to the patron feed, unaired conversations, early access to each episode, and much more. For the latest events, BSW swag, and a peek behind the scenes, head over to the show's ever-evolving webpage at thebiblesayswhat.com. Thanks to the cosmic powers of the internet, it is now possible to buy me a beer or coffee online. Simply go to buymeacoffee.com/BSW the podcast and click the appropriate buttons. If you can't support the show monetarily, please like, share, and or leave a review. As always, you can find me at the Bible Says What Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, or Instagram pages. You can also reach me at bswthepodcast@gmail.com. And no matter which platform you use to listen to your podcasts, don't forget to hit that subscribe button so you won't miss out on the next episode. Until then, would you kindly pick up your Bibles and read them? If your grandma told you about that one time she decided to drown a bunch of kids because they wouldn't listen to her, would you still find her loving? if you found out that she built a torture chamber where she would send those who don't love her, would you still find her actions just and fair? Of course not. So why does Yahweh continue to get a pass for all the pointless death, destruction, and pain he causes throughout his bestseller? Let's end the show.